Gracious Holy One, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for waking us up this morning and allowing us to come into your house of praise and worship, and we give you thanks. Speak to our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to the scriptorial passage for this morning. It comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And Andrew read the passage of scripture for us, but I'm going to read just verse 25, and it comes from a new Bible that I was introduced in Bible study by Dan Maxwell. He read from the Century Bible Study, and listen to these words. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day coming. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I hope you got it. Amen, amen. I want to talk about and share this morning the benefits of church membership. The benefits of church membership. Look at your neighbor and repeat the title with me. The benefit of church membership. Amen. Ma'am, you picked a great Sunday to come. Amen, amen, amen. We all like benefits. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And I just want to take a quick survey as it relates to some of the benefits that I'm going to give you and share, and membership in various places and organizations and even clubs. I just couldn't wait till I got to be 55 and join the, yeah, you got it, the AARP. How many have an AARP card? Look at that, look at that. Yeah, it's a discount card. Now, if you're not there yet, you got to hold on, hang in there. How many have a AAA card? Look at that, look at that. How many have a credit card? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How many are part of a fraternity or a sorority? Yeah. How many are part of a Rotary Club? Yesterday when we were doing the Alzheimer's Walk, one of our members introduced me to her Rotarians. And she was so excited that we were there, our church. And she told them, she said, hey, you need to come check out our church. It's Palm Coast United Methodist Church. They said, by the library? She said, yes, of course, where else? Yeah. And so she was so excited as she was inviting them. How many of you just are part of a different kind of membership than what I've already named? Just part of a membership. Something, somewhere. Yeah, yeah. How many are part of a family? Yeah, you didn't select that, didn't you? No, no, no. You would have liked to, but that's a whole nother sermon. Amen. But we seek benefits. We seek benefits. When it comes to the church, there are some benefits with membership. Now, mind you, if you read the Bible carefully, you'll notice that the church has always had its critics. It was during the time before Jesus, during Jesus, and after Jesus. Folks have been criticizing the church. If you read your Bible carefully, you'll see that Jesus took a turn that was very familiar, and he turned that phrase into what we share now in worship, ecclesia, when he used it in Matthew chapter 16 and the 18th verse. And they were familiar with that word because it deals with church. And he built upon that word and says, upon this rock I will build my church, and what? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Have you ever thought about it? I know you don't think this way, okay? Why do I go to church? Why do I go to church? I could sit in my living room and watch television and get prepared for what's going to happen at 1 p.m. I could play pool. Some of you will get that later. Why do I need to go to church? I can worship God at home. I can worship God one-on-one. Well, there's two sides to every coin. Yes, we can worship God at home or at work or wherever we are. We can worship God and praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I hope you have private worship, but if you flip the other side of that coin, according to the Bible, not Kevin James, you have to have corporate worship. Corporate worship. Just raise your hand, Dorsey. Didn't she? Oh, man. She led us in worship and in song. She was leading us in that song as it relates to praising God right before the prayer time, and something hit me called the Holy Ghost. Some of you will get it later. But I was right back there, and I was singing, and one saint, man of God, Frank, when she concluded, Frank said to me, "Man, you don't sound that bad." Amen, amen. Thank you, Frank, thank you. That was a sense of encouragement. I know he didn't mean anything about it. But we can worship God individually, but yet, if you read the Bible, we have to come to church as we see the day approaching, and we have to come as a corporate group to what? To worship. He wants us to worship as a corporate body. There are many invitations that you have received, that I've received, that are so important in the life and time of our community. And we go to various events. And, of course, you're going to see some as it relates to the backdrop of the setting, as it relates to the screen. And they're very important as it relates to the lives of our children around the flagpole, as it relates to dads hanging out with their sons or their daughters, donuts for dads. You just name it. And there's so many events, but there's no greater event than to be invited to the house of worship. If you don't believe that, if you have your Bibles, or if you want to write down this scripture, look at Psalms 122. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I don't care what translation you have, it's going to be pretty much on that line. He said, "I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand in the gates of Jerusalem." You look at those nine verses and you'll see how excited David was to come into the presence of God, the throne of God, to pray. He even mentioned in the third verse, he says, Jerusalem is compact. And yet God's presence is there. And look at the last verse. David reminds us that he experienced the goodness of the Lord in praise and worship. Corporate worship is important. Many people would say, "Oh, joining the church is old school, it's old fogey, people don't join the church." Boy, I wish they would have been here this morning. You had 11 people lined up right here. Did you see them? Yeah, yeah. The question is, how many people have you invited to come and to praise God from whom all blessings flow? How often do you invite people to come to worship? Look to your neighbor and say, "Have you invited anyone?" Yeah. I don't want to ask you to do something that I'm not doing, so I'm going to give you a true life example. On Thursday, I decided to go to my favorite barber shop. Yeah. He's right there. Wave your hand, Brad. And just like the beauty shop, what goes on in the barber shop stays where? In the barber shop. Yeah. I'm glad he came. I didn't even want to add this, but it'll work. We talk about things. We're going to leave it right there. But the end of our conversation, Brad is there with his friends and his homies and his boys. He was there on Thursday. His young lady friend was there as well. And our last words, I'll see you at church on Sunday. Isn't that something? They heard us talking about the church. Not all that other stuff we were talking about. But the church, the Koinonia, ecclesia, to be inviting others and let them hear engaging in the conversation to come and be a part of the church. Well, the question that you could easily ask as it relates to the church, is this concept biblical? Is it biblical? Is it biblical to come to church, to come to worship? Perhaps you heard about the little boy who, well, he was a gentleman. He really was struggling, and he told his mother he wasn't going that Sunday. He said, no, I'm not going down there. I'm not going to the church. He said, oh, yeah, you need to go. Why do I need to go? The people don't like me. I don't like them. Well, she said, you're the preacher, and you need to go this Sunday. Yeah. Is church membership a biblical concept? Y'all, come on. Is a biblical concept? The answer is yes. Just as inviting dads to have donuts with their sons or their daughters, that's a good concept. It happened at Rimfire Elementary School on Wednesday. You don't believe that? Look at the screen. There's a gentleman right there. Tony with his son, Aiden. Yes, it is a biblical concept, and you might want to write it down, for worship, teaching, fellowship, prayer, and everyone who helped make disciples of all people. Help make disciples for all people. It is biblical. You look at this passage of scripture in Hebrews, and you'll see that Paul was writing to believers who were converting back to Judaism. Jesus was presented to them. They accepted Christ, like you witnessed these 11 folks here this morning. And yet, because they were so ingrained with the rituals and the laws, they wanted to convert back to Judaism. They had received the grace, choir, the grace of God, but yet now they wanted to go back to their old habits and their old ways. But if you have the Bibles and look closely in this passage of scripture, you'll see in Hebrews chapter 10, three times, doesn't matter what translation you have, three times the Apostle Paul says, let us. He included himself. He didn't say let y'all. He didn't say let me. He said, let us draw near to God as we see the day approaching. When do you get ready for church? When do you get ready for church? Paul was reminding them that now we have total freedom into the throne of God. When we praise and worship, we're free to worship God. In some other places, they don't have that freedom. But here in the United States, we can worship God and praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And Paul was reminding them that you can come with your heart open to God. Because why? You heard Andrew as he read the scripture. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He's now opened the floodgates. He's now opened the door and allowed us to come and to worship him in spirit and in truth. It is all because of Jesus. He allows us now to go before the throne of grace. But look at the next point as it relates to your sermon notes, and hopefully this will help you. Why do people need Christ and his church? Because Jesus is the answer to the most serious problems that plague our society. Our society has a lot of problems and a lot of issues, but if you read John's gospel in the 14th chapter and the 6th verse, it says it this way as it relates to Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Man. It reminds us that Jesus is the what? Is the way, the truth, and the life. Say that with me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the answer. If you've been searching and searching for an answer, the benefit of coming to corporate worship is that you will hear a word from God as it relates to God's Bible. It may not be just in the preaching moment. It may be in the singing moment with these beautiful singers who lead us into the throne of God. Maybe during the prayer time, we come as a corporate family and we come to worship him. Whatever your situation, whatever you're dealing with, give it to Jesus. You see that group that circled around Lee there at FPC High School? They're praying. They're praying. Praying to a God who loves us. Think for a moment. What did you expect to hear this morning? How did you expect to experience God? Where is God when you really need God? What is the expectation of coming to worship? Well, I want to call your attention to Canoeing the Mountains, chapter 9. Our group met on Monday night, and I'm part of a covenant group that's reading this in our church staff. And there's a beautiful illustration that I want to share with you from chapter 9. Chapter 9, around page 113. 113. I did not put this in the book, but I love it. It talks about all 22. All 22. What is all 22? I'm glad you asked. Todd Bolsinger talks about all 22. He talks about how the NFL has a camera that's called All 22. It looks over, and you see America team, the Miami Dolphins. Yeah. America's team that's undefeated. Yeah. All 22. And this camera zooms in and can see every player. They can even see if they're hearing a player's phone going off. Yeah. All 22. Yeah. And it came out in 2012, but check this out. Came out in 2012, but they didn't want to show it to the public. Why? Because all 22 gives you every player's responsibility and lets you see every player as he has great moments, but then the other side of that coin when he makes a mistake. And they didn't want people sitting in their living rooms being Monday morning quarterbacks, being critics. And they waited. They had the technology and the footage in 2012, but they decided now to reveal it where folks can see exactly what's going on. And if you have a different player that you're responsible for on your fantasy team or any other type of team that you celebrate and watch, you can see if he made that mistake or if he hit it right. Well, God always had the technology. It's right there in the Bible. The Bible says, behold, the eyes of the Lord is in every place, beholding the good and the bad. God sees all and he knows all, and that's why we rely upon God's grace. Let me give you these three points as I get ready to close. Number one, we are to communicate through Christ. We are to communicate through Christ. Look at that beautiful young lady right there to my left. She's a member of our church. Where is she? I see her mother. Look, y'all, please forgive me. Watch this, and I want you to look in the back because those are her parents. I don't even see her, but yeah. No, I'm not talking about her. I see her right there. But look at her parents. Watch this. Where's the young lady who's on that picture? Look at the parents. They just raised their hands. Number one, that's my daughter. She's right there, Carrie. Thank you. She's leading her peers in prayer at Matanzas High School as they're sharing as it relates to God and meeting at the pole. Communicating with Christ. That's the benefit that we have when we come as a corporate family and a corporate community. We come to communicate together. I can hear your situation, you can hear my situation, but God hears all situations, and he's willing to meet them. Point number two, steadfastness. Steadfastness. That's Rimfire Elementary School. Elementary, right? Yeah, good, okay. Amber is in that picture, and she's there too. They're praying at the pole. We need to be steadfast. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable. Always what? Abiding in the word of the Lord. And lastly, faithful worship. faithfulness in worship. We have come to worship God. It's a privilege to come to God's house knowing that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes, but yet I can come and praise the Lord. David had it right. David knew it. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that the Lord has saved me and looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. Do I have any witnesses? Oh, that's good to know this morning. Yes, that's good to know. Because David also said in Psalms 150, when you go home, you check it out. David says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmaments of his power. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the psalter. David even said, praise him with the instruments and praise him where his page with the flute. David said, praise ye the Lord. Oh, he didn't forget the drum section. He says, praise him with the cymbal and praise him with the highest cymbal. Praise him with the dance. Let everything, hallelujah. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise ye the Lord. Let's give the Lord a total praise. He's worthy to be praised. We're part of God's church and God's family. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you stand? I offer Christ to you. We are the church.